This video was originally recorded on 12/2008, and the current version is 1/2020. The major revision to this video was a deletion of the last 20 minutes or so that deal with indulgences gained for the souls in purgatory during the 15 days before Christ's second coming. Instead, God will increase the quality and perceived time of the torments of the souls in purgatory so that after his second coming, there will be no souls in purgatory. Hence, God can increase their sufferings, and he can make one day feel like 1,000 years. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is December 30th, year 2008. Christ is truly born.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right. Now, I invoke again, as always, the Holy Infant Jesus to go before me in these sermons, primarily, and help me to reveal these mysteries found in the book of the Apocalypse and Daniel and several other chapters in the Bible, with the special assistance, of course, of the beloved St. John and St. Daniel, and always to Jesus through Mary with the help of our Blessed Mother, the prophetess of all prophets, our Blessed Mother. All right, now, one thing we were talking about yesterday when we were showing you that the general judgment is going to take place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and that's where also the Armageddon is going to be, where God gathers together all the nations for this final big battle called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, as found in Joel chapter 3. Okay, so in Joel 3, we then learn that the Armageddon is taking place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So then we need to know, where is this Valley of Jehoshaphat? And we also said that when everything's all said and done, and all the wicked evildoers are destroyed, and everything's, that one period of time when the earth is purified, Jesus is going to land on the Mount of Olivet, and then we're going to have the general judgment, and the general judgment also takes place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So when we look up where the Valley of Jehoshaphat is, which means the Valley of Judgment, it's in Cedron, which is also known as the Kidron Valley. And that's what all the Jews believe. That's the common opinion, I think, if not unanimous, at least common opinion. And even the Muslims believe that, but who cares what the Muslims believe? But even the Jews themselves, carrying it back from the Old Covenant era, understand that the Kidron Valley is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And that's the way it is believed to be today. And then when we look up and find out where the Kidron Valley is, it's wonderful. It's just, everything fits in perfectly. The Kidron Valley is east of the city of Jerusalem. Here's the city of Jerusalem and where the rebuilt temple is going to be. Right next to that, there's a valley. On the east side of that, there's a valley. You see the walls of Jerusalem? There's a big valley. And on the other side of that valley, it ends and comes up into a mountain, and that's the Mount of Olivet. All of it. That's where Christ is, and the Garden of Gethsemane is on that side. So you have Garden of Gethsemane over here, and the Mount of Olivet, and you have the city of Jerusalem over here, which consists of the temple, the Mount Moriah, and the city of David, which is the city of Jerusalem. And in the middle of these two things, you have a valley, a big valley. And in that valley, that's where all the Jews are buried. You see all the tombs, and they say there's like 150,000 or even more. I don't know the exact number. You'll see all the Jews buried in that valley waiting for the judgment, because they know that that's where the judgment's going to take place. Now, some of those Jews are good Jews, because they died in the Old Covenant era. And they're faithful Jews. Now, a lot of those Jews are wicked Jews, and they're going to be raised up out of their graves to go into hell. But they're mixed in there with some good ones. And they know that that's where the general judgment's going to take place, so they bury their bodies and also facing towards Jerusalem, waiting for the Messiah to come. The wicked Jews, of course, are going to get a surprise, because the Messiah already came. They didn't believe in him, so they're going to be resurrected out of their tombs. Their bodies are going to be taken out of their tombs also, but they're going to be sent back into hell where they are right now with their souls. But the good Jews who are in heaven with God right now, with Jesus, are going to come down in that Valley of Jehoshaphat, and if they happen to have their bodies buried in that valley there, they're going to get their bodies back right out of those tombs. But we'll talk about that later, about the general judgment, and that everybody does get their bodies back. And the wicked, they go back into hell with their souls, body and soul. That, our Lord refers to that as a second death. All right? And then the just who are in heaven, who are just have their souls now, are going to get their bodies back in a glorified manner for all eternity. And they refer, and they, that's called the second resurrection. All right? The second resurrection. Because now your body's resurrected and united with your soul and lives for all eternity. But the damned, he calls that the second death. But it's interesting because this all takes place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Right outside where the two witnesses are going to be murdered and martyred, and right outside where they're going to be resurrected. So that's where also the nations are going to be gathered for battle. In this, and it's a big valley. The valley empties out into the Dead Sea. So it's not just there, it empties out into the Dead Sea. So you're going to have all these, you're going to have the Antichrist army is going to be gathered there. You're going to have Christ's earthly army being helped by his heavenly army for that final battle at Armageddon taking place. And then when the two witnesses are resurrected, you're going to get the whole city of Jerusalem splitting in three parts. 7,000 people are going to die. And it's right outside. The people who were gathered together in that Armageddon, that valley, Kidron Valley, you're going to see it. They're right there. It's going to devastate them. That's how Christ's earthly army, because it's very weak compared to Antichrist's army. From all appearances, these guys are never going to win. But that's what gives them the victory. Christ, with that earthquake, you probably even have angels going here and assisting also. But if you just look about what's going to happen with the Antichrist's army, some of them are going to defect and convert. They're going to see the two witnesses going up. So he's going to have defections within his own army. And as they defect, they're even going to be fighting one another, turning against one another. Then you got Christ's earthly army also gathered, ready to come in for the kill, right? To mop them up. And then they get routed, as I mentioned before. Then they get routed, the false prophet runs, and the Antichrist and the false prophet flee, and then they hide. And then 30 days later, and the kings that were fighting at Armageddon, they scatter. The people that are still following them, they scatter. They're running, they're hiding, because they were defeated. Right? 30 days later, the Antichrist and the false prophet are caught and thrown in the pit alive, all right? And then when that happens, you have the, which if it's true, we're talking about 3 days of total darkness. Then you have Christ coming, lighting up the whole earth. And before he actually comes and shows himself like that, he has all the elect being marked. Then he comes up and lights up the whole earth with his presence in heaven from east to west. You're going to have his army following behind him. His stars are going to be falling at the face of the Lord in the glory of God. All the stars are going to fall out. They're not going to all hit the earth, but a lot of them are going to hit the earth. And the sun and the moon is going to be gone. Maybe it'll explode into pieces, or we don't know what's going to happen with that. But it's going to be gone. And then the mountains are going to fall, and then the islands are going to sink under the water. All right, then the angels are going to be going out and killing all the wicked and grabbing them from wherever they are, and they're going to bring them into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, Kidron Valley. And that's where they're going to bring them. Now they're going to say, "You're coming back. The war's not over yet. We're going to put you all back. Now we're going to end the war." And they're gathering together all the enemies, the Antichrist followers, and they're putting them back into the Kidron Valley. And also the elect are being gathered, I think, also in Jehoshaphat. And I think they're going to be the ones that God's going to use to kill these people. So the angels are going to be bringing these people in and dropping them, grabbing them by their hair when they're hiding in, because it says they're going to be trying to hide in the caves and all that. They grab them by the hair and put them down here, and then his earthly army, because he's also going to gather the elect in Kidron Valley, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And he's going to have his earthly army, I really firmly believe, do the killing. Not even the angels. Maybe the angels will do the killing along with, but I think he's going to have the Catholics that are left at that time, the converted Jews and everybody, do the killing. Just killing these people. And it says so much killing takes place in Kidron Valley, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, that the blood goes up to the horse's bridle. And you find out Kidron Valley is a valley. And in New Mexico, it sort of works like an arroyo works. People that know about arroyos, when the water hits an arroyo, it gets filled up with water and it just starts rushing with water like a river. Cars have been known to, you have such vicious arroyos someplace in New Mexico, you can lose cars in your arroyo. You can even drown in an arroyo. It hits so quick. That's what this valley's like. And one guy was describing, he says, when it rains in Israel and that valley gets filled up with water, it's like a big wave's coming and it goes all the way out and empties into the Dead Sea. So it gathers. It's a valley. That's how the blood gathers. But when you're talking about filling the blood up the horse's bridle, that's a lot of killing. And what does that prove? I said to the brothers before, Jesus said very few people are saved. If most people are saved, you might only have like a few people killed. How were you getting all that blood from? All that blood that then is being shed at that time is evildoers. Wicked people that are, and it says in scriptures, the angels go out and gather them, they get killed and they get thrown down into hell, weeping and gnashing their teeth. So if you get blood filling up to the bridle of a horse, that tells you that almost everybody in the world, 90%, and I think even more, I don't think we're going to get 10% of the population in the world at that time converted. I don't think you're going to get 10. I think you're going to get 5. I don't even know if you're going to get 5. Remember Abraham pleading in Sodom and Gomorrah? You may only get 1% or 3%. It's low. But we know it's low because to get that much blood, that means almost everybody on the face of the earth at that time is damned, doomed and damned. That's how hard it is to be saved. That's how wicked people are. This is against the optimism of all those people at the Night of Salvation dogma. Or they teach that almost everybody's going to heaven. Our Lord said, I'm not going to, Matthew 7:13-14, enter the narrow gate, for narrow is the gate, straight is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Matthew 20:16, many are called, few are chosen. When the Son of Man comes, it's going to be like in the days of Noah, when there's so few faithful. Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, think he find faith on earth. So even in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah talks about the amount of people, as far as all humanity is concerned, is so few are very saved. It's like when people go through an olive grove or figs and they pick all the olives off the trees and they're done picking. What's ever left is saved. All the rest is going to hell. We're learning about this. If Kidron Valley is filled up with all this blood, this is the blood of the wicked people. This is the blood of the evildoers. And it means that almost the whole earth is evil. All right. Now, but what's beautiful about this, when this is all done, and as we said the other day, and the wicked people are wiped off the face of the earth, and the last wicked person is killed and sent to hell, then that's when the last devils are sent to hell, and then hell is sealed up forever. All the damn humans who are going to ever go to hell are in hell. All the devils are gathered. At this time, too, our Lord's burning up the earth. The earth is being burnt up, too. This is all happening at the same time, but he's preserving Jerusalem and the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That's not burning. And then these people are now sealed off. All the damned humans that ever are going to be damned are already damned and in hell. The devils are then sealed off in hell. There's no more demons on the face of the earth. And then you have a 15-day waiting period when the earth is completely purified. The surface of the earth is purified. There is no sin on it. There is no, everyone that's left is in a state of grace. Good Catholics. That's all that's left on the face of the earth for 15 days. Good Catholics, Jews and Gentiles. Catholic Jews, Catholic Gentiles. It says about the 144,000 Jews and a multitude of Gentiles. They're there. They're saved. They're in a state of grace. There's no more sinful things on earth. All the wicked and dirty pictures, all the wicked and evil books, all the wicked and evil monuments, all the idols are going to be burnt up, wherever they are. They're going to be dug up out of the earth and destroyed and burnt up. There is nothing wicked on earth at all. So when Christ then finally comes the second time, he's landed upon a purified earth. He's going to be accepted by everybody who's alive on earth the way he wanted to when he came the first time. And he's come to an absolutely spotless earth. He will not set foot down again on earth until it's purified. And indeed, after 15 days, when all this evil is done, there's 15 days of the earth being purified where all the elect are waiting for 15 days for Christ to come. And here he comes on Mount Olivet. It lands on Mount Olivet, and they're in Kidron Valley. Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Judgment, where the general judgment is going to take place. He lands on Mount Olivet, and they see him coming down. And there he is. And what a great time that's going to be. You know, can you imagine? You're going to have your last pope there greeting him. You know, and he's going to land in the same place where he ascended from. And he's overlooking, preparing, ready for the general judgment. And then the Jerusalem, God has his reasons why he split it into three parts. He's preparing, when he splits the Jerusalem into three parts and destroys 7,000 people, and a lot of buildings are going to be fallen. Obviously, the temple's going to fall and all the structures, because he's preparing it for the heavenly Jerusalem, that when it comes down, it's going to land in the same place. All right, this is all taking place perfectly, right? You have the city of Jerusalem, which consists of Mount Moriah, where the temple is, the Temple Mount, where the temple's going to be, the third temple's going to be, and then you have of Antichrist, you know, and then you have the city of David, which is the city of Jerusalem here, and on the east of that, right off the thing, you see the Kidron Valley, and then coming up on this side, you see Mount of Olivet, and that's all going to be taking place right there. We have some pictures to show you on that in videos, which I will post up. Which I will post up on my website when I'm talking. It will show you where that is. You can see. Okay, now the we're going to do is just read through Apocalypse chapter 19 now, or we're going to describe what happens in here briefly as we go along. It mostly speaks for itself. Apocalypse 19 is taking place, and even in sequence, right after Apocalypse 18. And remember when we spoke about Apocalypse 18, it described the destruction of the harlot, the United States of America, and Rome, which is an extension of harlot, by the 10 kings who served the Antichrist. And this is what brings the Antichrist to power. Now, 19 goes on to speak of what's happening after his harlot is destroyed. Because once this harlot is destroyed, it begins the reign of the Antichrist, and it marks the beginning of the end. All of us then can raise up and say, within 1,335 days, Christ will land again. It's all over. The world has ended. Christ is now imminent. His coming is at hand. It's done. So, really, that's the sign where salvation is at hand. And you can already start counting. That's why our Lord gave us days. They told us that the reign is 1,260 days. That's it. So even when this happens, it's a glorious time. And you're going to read about this here, Apocalypse 19. We'll go right through it, starting with verse 1. After these things I heard, as it were, the voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power is to our God. For true and just are his judgments, who hath judged the great harlot, which corrupted the earth with her fornication, and hath revenged the blood of his servants at her hands, the United States of America, Freemasonic, the United States of America, which represents the epitome of Freemasonry, and Rome, which is an extension, the Vatican City, of the United States Freemasonry, which has been infiltrated. What's in Rome now, in the Vatican City, as we say many times, is not the Catholic Church. It's an imposter church that is pretending to be the Catholic Church. Then it goes on to say, and says, and again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke ascended forever and ever. And the 24 ancients and the 4 living creatures fell down and adored God that sitteth upon the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out from the throne, saying, Give praise to our God, all ye his servants, and you that fear him, little and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, hath reigned. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath prepared herself. He's now saying, once you see the harlot fall, he's going forward saying the marriage of the Lamb is at hand. Because the Antichrist now comes to power, which you need to get through before you can get Jesus to come and conquer. So he's saying the final days are now numbered. That's it. You now know it's going to be three and a half year reign. Then you got 75 more days after that and Christ comes. So he's telling the whole earth, once you see the United States get destroyed and Rome falls, that begins the reign. He says, the Lamb is now getting ready and the bride is getting ready for Jesus to come. Because watch, he goes on to say, and it is granted to her that she should clothe herself with fine linen, glittering white and white. For the fine linen are the justifications of the saints. There's our Lord giving veneration to his own saints. He gives them fine linen as a reward for their and it represents their justifications. The Protestants don't believe in venerating the saints. Here, God himself is venerating the saints. Yeah. God himself loves the saints. God himself honors the saints. He gives them fine linens representing their justifications, their good deeds that they did by God's grace, without which they can do nothing. Refute, that's a great thing right there about venerating saints. And in verse 9 it says, and he said to me, right, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these words of God are true. So he's also telling people on earth when you start seeing these things happen, as I'm telling it to you now, don't wait. You have time to convert. But I say, once you see the United States destroyed and Rome falls, you better start converting then, right now. Don't even wait. Because if you wait too long, you may not get the grace from God to convert. And then when things happen, you're going to end up in hell before you even know it. The time of salvation is at hand. When you see the harlot fall, let that be a real manifest sign to people. All right? Because the end times are now happening. The days are numbered. Everything's going to be wrapped up in a very short period of time. And he says, these words of God are true. And he says, and I fell down before his feet to adore him. And he saith to me, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. Now the testimony of Jesus, adore God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. John thought he was God. He was so glorious. And he bowed down thinking he was God. And then he said, no, I'm not God. I'm just one of your servants. Then he says this. Verse 11 is important. He goes, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and with justice doth he judge and fight. And his eyes were as... Now, Christ is on... He didn't appear on earth yet. He's looking at him in heaven. He's now seeing Christ in heaven preparing his army for the final battle. For Armageddon, really. Armageddon didn't take... He goes, and I saw heaven opened, because you need to go for 3.5 years of the reign of Antichrist before you get the Armageddon. But John's now looking at Christ's army in heaven, the heaven of heavens, God's home, not up in these heavens. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and with justice does he judge and fight. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many diadems, and he had a name written which no man knoweth but himself. And he was clothed with a garment sprinkled with blood, and his name was called the Word of God. This is Christ, the Lamb, this is coming back. And the armies that are in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he may strike all the nations. Now, interesting to know, he already started out saying Babylon's already done. So who's he fighting against here? See, this is the Antichrist, who's now reigning. He's reigning for 3.5 years. And during this whole 3.5 year period of time, we're fighting against Antichrist. And Christ is already helping us in heaven with his army. You just don't see him yet appearing in the heavens, but he's already there helping us from heaven. And he's also going to be helping us at Armageddon before he appears. He's going to send his angels down. He's going to be helping us with this army. Because now, right there, we see Babylon's destroyed. So, what's going on here? Who's he fighting with here? He's fighting against the armies of the Antichrist. And it says, and the armies that are in heaven follow him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he may strike the nations at Armageddon. This is where he gets the final victory. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God the Almighty. And he hath on his garment and on his thigh written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that did fly through the midst of the heavens, come, gather yourselves together to the great supper of the Lord. Because he's already foreseen the defeated Armageddon. And also the gathering together of the wicked and the killing of all the wicked in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And he's saying there's going to be, after his blood is shed, there's going to be so much flesh upon earth, he's going to have all the birds eating the flesh off of them. And can you imagine, he's going to probably get the birds from over the whole world in there, in that valley of Jehoshaphat. Vultures and crows, and they're going to just be eating the flesh off all these bodies as they're being wiped out. And it says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that did fly through the midst of heaven, come, gather yourself together to the great supper of our Lord. He calls it a nice supper. Feast on this wicked flesh. That you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of tribunes, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and of the flesh of the freemen, bondmen, little and great. Here we are seeing all the wicked gathered together in Jehoshaphat. Now he loses at Armageddon. Some guys get killed then, and they're eating the flesh. Then when he gathers, the angels go out and gather all the wicked from the hiding and put him in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And his earthly army starts killing these people. These birds are busy eating all their flesh. And he goes, these are all the kings that ran and hid. They're now gathered together, and they're in one spot, and the birds are eating them. Little and great, slave and free men, all the wicked. It doesn't matter, from every race. Race doesn't save you. Whether you're a man or a woman doesn't save you. Whether you're rich or poor doesn't save you. Whether you're a king or a servant doesn't save you. Only faith in Christ Jesus, being a good Catholic, saves you. All these groups of people, the rich, the poor, you know, the from every different race, the smart and the stupid, the powerful and the weak, they're all being, all the wicked, these all wicked people being gathered together, and these birds are eating their flesh. And he says on verse 19, and I saw the beast. Now he's going to come back and say, he's going, before, now he's looking at the battle taking place. You're just looking at the end result, and he's saying, get ready, birds. Get ready, you birds. This is going to happen. Get ready. This is going to happen. And look, 19, and I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war with him that sat upon the horse and with his army. They're gathered together at Armageddon, the Valley of Kidron Valley. This is where they're getting ready for the final battle. And he's not only going to be bold enough to try to fight against the earthly armies, not much, because it's not going to be that powerful, although he knows there were signs there. He's actually going to fight against the heavenly armies of Christ's angels that are going to be appearing in heaven and doing wonders. And he's going to invoke his devils and Satan to do his wonders. And so you're going to have another battle of Michael fighting against Satan. during this Armageddon. It's not just going to be humans fighting. You're going to have Michael leading that army, and Blessed Mother, you're going to probably see her there fighting, and they're going to be defeating the devils that are going to... You're probably even going to be seeing the devils fighting in heaven with the angels in heaven, and this heaven's here, and you're going to see the earthly armies fighting together. Because it says at this point, he says, and then he says, I saw the beast and all the kings of the earth gathered together in one place here, Kidron Valley, to make war with him that sat upon the horse and with his army. Christ in his army. And the beast, okay, now, he fast forwards, the defeat takes place, and he's going forward to 30 days later into the war, after the war is over and they're scattered. Verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, who wrought signs before him, wherewith he seduced them who received the character of the beast and who adored his image. These two were cast alive into the pool of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. So he's saying, obviously we got a defeat here, because he was taken. His army's routed, and the defeat takes place first, where the army's defeated, and the false prophet and the Antichrist run into hiding. And here he's saying, but they're going to be taken. They're going to be taken. They're going to get them. And it's 30 days later. Okay, and as I said in the other sermon here too, when this is Antiochus Epiphanes is like a figure of the Antichrist, when his army was defeated by the Maccabees, it was like 58 days later when they finally caught up to him and killed him. And he died 58 days later, or he at least died 58 days later. He died a miserable death too, if you remember the type. And he did. The type of death he died was miserable. But anyway, now we're going over and it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, who wrought signs before him, wherewith he seduced them and received the character of the beast who adored his image. These two were cast alive into the pool of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. Now, what did we say happens after the false prophet and the Antichrist and false prophet are killed and thrown into the pit alive? The kings are scattered that served him. They're running all over the earth and they're hiding and they're trying to get away from the wrath of the Lamb, who they know is going to come upon them. Their power is broken. And especially after the false prophet gets killed, you got the 3 days of darkness happening there. Right when that happens. And what does it say about those rest? And the rest were slain by the sword of him that sitteth upon the horse, which proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. That's the final killing of all the wicked in the Kidron Valley, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, when the angels are gathering together and putting them down in the valley, and they're being killed, and the blood is filled up to the horse's bridle. All the blood of the wicked at that period of time. And that ends Apocalypse 19. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.